What creates these killers, Philip? I mean, are they born this way? Does society change them? Are they severely mentally imbalanced? What happens here?
I think a number of different factors that come together at the same time, and they create what initially is an antisocial type of individual, somebody, the psychiatrist would call a sociopath, that they don't want to follow the rules and regulations that are laid down. They enjoy not having to do what the rest of society does. And often that begins manifesting in the early years, the early teenage years. And as time goes by, they get worse and worse and worse. If there's nothing there to correct it, guidance, loving parents, taken out of a bad situation and put in a good situation, getting a guidance counselor that has their act together, and they might very well become what amounts to a psychopath, what amounts to somebody who just doesn't have those elements. In my mind, from what I've seen in my studies, it often has to do with brutality in the formative years. The years between 1 to 6, 1 to 8, males suffer physical abuse, sexual abuse, severe mental abuse, and they become very hateful. And it's just a matter of where they're going to express their hate. I don't know of many guys on death row that had idyllic childhoods. It's inconclusive. They just don't go together. Some people do manage to live through bad experiences for a period of years and go on to lead productive lives. Some people drown their hostilities in alcohol or drugs, and they turn their anger more on themselves than society. But to answer your question, I think it's a genetic propensity towards irrational sudden violence fused with different types of very bad experiences in those formative years. And then there's a lack of counseling, a lack of parental care, a lack of unrequited love that opens them to the effects of what amounts to them becoming remorseless killers. You know, when I was interviewing Richard Ramirez, we talked a lot about murder. When you talk to a guy like that, he himself was convicted of killing 19 people with knives, with guns, with beating them to death. And in reality, he killed over 30 people. He killed a lot of people in Texas. He killed a lot of people in San Francisco. They knew nothing about, but he did tell me about those murders. So when you sit eyeball to eyeball with a person like that, and he's talking about murder, you're talking to a genuine, bona fide expert. And I don't say that like I looked up to him or I thought him special in any way. I just thought he was like a professor of murder.
Did you ever think, Philip, when you were interviewing him, he was going to lunge across the desk or wherever you two were and try to kill you just because he was I mean, did you ever think that could happen?
Well,
were you ready for it?
I felt that a lot more with Richard Kuklinski. With Richard, you see, it's not like we see in the movies. What happens when these guys get arrested and they're incarcerated, they become more sedated, and you see the good side of them. They all have an extreme duality, by the way. The monster side and then the polite gentleman side. As an example, Ted Bundy, everyone was so shocked when he was arrested for the crimes he committed because he was this clean-cut Republican. He was trying to help a Republican governor get elected. And you'd never in a million years think he was not only capable of what he was doing, but he wouldn't even think such thoughts, let alone do such acts.
I think you were the one who told me that he would like be by his car outside of a campus, drop his books and things, and hope that some woman would come by to help him, and then he'd try to coax her into the car.
This tails back to what we were talking about a guy like Atta going through security at an airport and looking the security guard in the eyes and him convincing the person via his physical demeanor, his body English, that he was okay. Sure, go ahead. Ted Bundy was a piece of work, George. a very, very unusual actor, a consummate, unusual character, consummate actor. What he did was actually, he had a false cast made for his left arm, and he put this cast over his arm, and he'd walk down a block where he knew there were co-eds with 10 books, and at the right moment, he'd drop the books, be fumbling to pick them up with the stupid cast, and inevitably, most women say, "Can I help you?" And he said, "Yes, please. Oh, you know, thank you so much," acting like he just saw them for the first time.
Yeah.
But think about the premeditation here. And he would say, "My car's right over here. Would you be kind enough to bring it? Help me." And he, "Oh, yeah, of course." And what he actually did was he had a Volkswagen Bug, and he took out the passenger seat. And in the cast, what he had stashed was a tire iron. And he'd open the door, and he'd say, "Please put the books in." And when they bent down to put the books in, they were vulnerable to a strike from behind. He'd whip out his tire iron, crack them in the head, knock them out, put them in the Volkswagen. He had handcuffs at the ready, duct tape for the mouth. Within a minute of striking them, he got his Bug and took off. And he had secluded places all set up where he brought these women, did horrible, despicable, terrible things to them, joyfully doing them, being sexually aroused by it, having multiple orgasms, and leaving their bodies there.
Yet he didn't go after everybody, Philip. So what makes that distinction where, you know, he might go after one but not another?
Well, he had a preference. Ted had a, you know, George, it's all about sex. It really is. I mean, I hate to make it sound so simple, but with Jack the Ripper, it was sexual. With all these killers, all these guys we're talking about, Dahmer, Bundy, Gacy, it's all about
Well, you're talking about serial killers now, not contract killers. Okay.
Oh, no, specifically, of course. And it's like people like to date certain types of women. You go on Match.com and you have guys say, "I'm looking for the specific type, such and such a height, blue eyes, dark hair," and women say, "I'm looking for guys that are such and et cetera, et cetera." It's just a matter of, I think, preference. When you look inside the minds of these guys, it's like opening up a can of worms. It's like going into a foul sewer. And it's very hard, once you get in there, to discern why is a guy like Ted Bundy going after brunettes with big round eyes? Oh, well, he had a girlfriend that jilted him.